This is a song that there's a lot of Christmas songs out there, and not too many Hanukkah songs. So wrote a song for all those nice little Jewish kids who don't get to hear any Hanukkah songs. Here we go.
Put on your yarmulke. Here comes Hanukkah. So much Hanukkah to celebrate Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the festival of lights. Instead of one day of presents, we have eight crazy nights. When you feel like the only kid in town without a Christmas tree, here's a list of people who are Jewish, just like you and me. David Lee Roth lights the menorah. So do James Conkirk Douglas and the late Dinah Shore. Guess who eats together at the Carnegie Deli? Bowser from Shanana and Arthur Fonzarelli. Paul Newman's half Jewish, Goldie Hawn's half too. Put them together, what a fine looking Jew. You don't need Deck the Halls or Jingle Bell Rock, cause you can spin a dreidel with Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, both Jewish. Put on your yarmulke, it's time for Hanukkah. The owner of the Seattle Supersonicas celebrates Hanukkah.
Happy holiday there, Absolution Network fans, and welcome to another crazy night here on Thomas's Eight Crazy Nights. I am, of course, your host, Thomas Mattis. Back of another crazy night, because I am an absolute nutcase. It's actually law. I have to actually tell any person I'm applying to a job to that I'm a nutcase. I really have to write it down. But yes, I'm continuing my crazy crusade to have a podcast on each night of Hanukkah, which is probably going to fail, and then you'll get the full Jewish experience where we make it halfway through and I go, oh, screw it. Which is the full Jewish experience. Tonight, I have a man who I very much respect from the podcasting community. He's a good friend. He's one of the founding members of Tutu Freaks. You can find him on things like Tales of the JSA, Back to the Bins, Back to the Bins, Star Wars Mondays. What is it, Star Trek Fridays?
No, they're on Mondays as well.
Oh, Star Trek. Everything's on Monday.
Well, all of our core shows are on Monday. We have Star Wars Monthly Monday, Star Trek Monthly Monday, Comics Monthly Monday.
Yeah.
And then we have the Wild Card show that fills in the other Monday of the month.
But basically,
we're getting to a point where there's almost something almost every day of the week, it seems like.
But yeah, he's part of the site that you hear all the trailers from, since it's like those are the best trailers I have and I like to play the best. Scott Gardner is on with us tonight. How are you doing, Scott?
Hey, I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm flattered by that introduction. I think that is the best one I've ever had, so thank you.
Well, you know, it's like I said, I really do respect you. I gotta tell a story about you. It wasn't this year, but it was the year before. I don't remember, but Scott had me on his a Jeopardy or trivia night, and there was a situation that happened to me, and some stuff got said. Scott personally came to me the next day and apologized for what happened, which he didn't need to do. But it's like that amount of respect that you showed. It's unfortunately, sadly missing our society, which is one of the reasons I love your podcast so much. You do bring a sense of class.
Oh, thank you. I've definitely never heard that about Freaks before. Well, I appreciate that very much. But, you know, I took that very personally because, you know, I had invited you in personally, and it was one of those things where, you know, when we invite folks in to do our shows, it, you know, to me, it's like inviting you over to the house, you know what
yeah.
I mean? So you're under our roof and under our protection, so to speak. So it's like, you know, if there's, you know, rival situations or, you know, people that don't get along, you know, well, when they're all invited, this is neutral ground. So,
yeah
I know the situation you're referring to. And, it was one of those situations where I felt badly afterwards. I felt like, gee, you know, I wish I'd known this going in. So I appreciate you saying that. It makes me feel good.
Well, you know, the thing is, considering the bad jokes I was saying, and when I say bad jokes, I don't mean like they were like crossing the line. I mean like I was saying jokes that weren't funny, which is my gig. I'm the guy who does the bad jokes to make everybody look better. But saying those bad jokes, I wouldn't be surprised if you kicked me out. So far, how's your holiday season been? I know you work at the happiest place on earth, Walt Disney World.
You know, a lot of people say that, and oh, this probably made me sound like such a big jerk, and I don't mean to be a jerk about it, but you know, I'm constantly correcting people on that because it's a very common misconception that I work at the happiest place on earth. I actually work at the most magical place on earth.
Ah, you know what?
That's
you're
on
right.
The West Coast. I say that kind of tongue in cheek, honestly,
yeah.
Because you know, we don't ever like to think that, you know, we have people that how do I want to put this diplomatically? You know, you never want to disparage your guests or anything like that, but every once in a while you get somebody that's just, you know, there it's a sticky situation where somebody's complaining or they're unhappy or something, and a lot of times, you know how it is, you know, with customer service, sometimes people throw things in your face, you know. And every once in a while, somebody that's upset will do that, and they'll go, I thought this was the happiest place on earth. And you just kind of have to smile and go, no, sir, that would be in California.
But you know what? You are right. That is the happiest place on earth. I should know, being in Florida, it is the magical, most magical place on earth.
It is.
Yeah. Like, I had a that's when I was like, one of my Christmas like traditions revolves around watching movies that are from the most magical place on earth. I miss Florida.
Which ones?
First of all, Beauty and the Beast, which is my absolute favorite. I try to watch all like the what I call the Golden Revival, which is starts with a Little Mermaid, goes all the way up to Tarzan.
Right.
But that and Sleeping Beauty, which is my second favorite. Which I have both on Blu-ray, by the way.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I have yet to break down and do the Blu-ray thing. And I don't even know that I ever will. I probably will be forced to eventually, because it'll probably be one of those situations where eventually that will be the format. So, you know, you're either in or you're out kind of thing. But, I'm 43. I'm at an age where, God, you know, how many times have I got to buy the same movie? You know, I went through...
Well,
you know, thankfully, I never did the Betamax thing. But, you know,
oh.
I've been there with VHS and then DVD and.
I have to figure out how I'm gonna like convert all my WrestleMania recordings from VHS to DVD now,
right?
Which may be behind, but no. Coming up in New Jersey, my mom actually bought a HD TV. It's like a 40-plus inch HD TV.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Connected with my PlayStation 3, I can watch Blu-ray. It's, oh my god, it's outstanding. I never want to go back.
Oh, that's right. The PS3 plays Blu-ray, so I forgot about that.
Yeah, it does. But we've actually kind of gotten off topic, which is the norm for us. I know it's the norm for you.
Oh yes, yeah. I was just gonna say, that's kind of my shtick, I guess.
Hey, you don't even want to know what happens if we would have had Chris on here. We would have never stopped.
Oh, we would wind up way off in left field, I'm sure.
Oh, then we'd have to deal with the French. 10 points to anybody who gets the Robin Williams stand-up reference there. But I have Scott here to answer 8 crazy questions about the holidays, as you guys have already known. 8 questions that I do, and we're going to start with question number 1. So, Scott, what are your favorite holiday traditions that you and your family do?
Oh, my goodness. I would say, you know, probably the biggest one, you know, the most important one to me is doing the tree. And I actually hope my wife doesn't hear this episode, because she's going to be like, well, you didn't do the tree. Because I this year I was so busy. I've really been busy with work and everything. And this year, sadly, I didn't get to do the tree. I actually did very little other than help assemble the tree, because we do have an artificial tree. Mm-hmm. Which always makes me feel a little bit weird, you know, because it's like, you know, the Christmas, you know, traditionalist and purist in me thinks, you know, you really need to have a live tree, you know. But it was one of those things where we decided, you know, years ago that, you know, to just go with the artificial thing for convenience and, you know, reusability and that sort of thing. Plus, it just never seemed quite right to celebrate, you know, this season of joy and giving and all that by killing something. You know? So I helped put the tree up, but I always like doing, you know, because we have what we call in our house the geek tree, because,
yes.
You know, with myself being so into geeky things, and, you know, I am raising 2 budding geeks, you know, they're both really into a lot of the same things I am. So, you know, our ornaments are somewhat non-traditional. You know, we have, you know, on our Christmas tree, you can find the likes of Boba Fett and Captain America and Spider-Man and Superman and, you know, Mickey Mouse and all this stuff. So it's, you know, very, very, very much a geek tree. But I felt badly that I didn't get really to participate in any of that. And the tree was kind of done in stages. So every night when I would come home from work, there was a little more done and a little more done. But I have to say, you know, my boys did a phenomenal job. The tree looks great this year. And so that was really cool. You know, that's, to me, that's probably the biggest and most important one, especially now. You know, that, you know, years ago, my answer would have been, you know, going to my grandparents. You know, that growing up, that's how we celebrate. You know, we all celebrated Christmas in my family. Was we went to my grandparents, and, you know, we have a very large family, and everybody would gather there and do Christmas and gift exchange and all that, but. You know, now I live in Florida, and my grandparents have been deceased for a while now. So everything kind of split up. So now it, you know, kind of falls to, you know, creating new traditions and things for my own family. So we're still kind of ironing that out. A lot of our traditions actually fall around the movies that we like to drag out and watch every year, the Christmas specials, which, you know, I know is, you know, you're gonna get to eventually. So I'll save all of that.
Well, speaking, since you're at the most magical place on the earth, have you taken them for Christmas time there? Which I remember all the years in Florida, I wish I could have been there for Christmas, because I know it's so beautiful.
It is. It's gorgeous. It's probably my favorite time of year, actually, for going into the parks. Sadly, this year I haven't gotten to do as much of it as I'd wanted to, but we're about to correct that. Here shortly. Next week, I'm off a couple of days, and we're going to go and try to do, you know, the sites around Walt Disney World that are, you know, specific to the holidays. And well, this is something of a tradition that I like to do. Every year I like to make a little pilgrimage over to the Gingerbread House over at the Grand Floridian.
Yeah.
And they literally construct a house out of gingerbread.
Oh yeah, I've seen it. I saw it. I know Travel Channel has done like a couple of specials, and I've seen it, and it's like,
it's amazing. It's beautiful, and it's
things
it's
that will make amazing. You go off a diet.
Oh yeah, that's the one thing where I'm like, you know, all right, screw the diet, because they not only do they make enough gingerbread to make the house, but then they actually make extra, and so you can go. And inside the gingerbread house is a store where you can buy different treats and things. And I'll always go every year, and I'll treat myself to one gingerbread shingle. And it's an actual shingle off the house, or it's like an extra shingle. and they're perfectly edible, and it's gingerbread, and then it's backed with hard chocolate.
Oh.
And it's delicious. I should not ever eat one because chocolate doesn't agree with me. Ginger actually upsets my stomach now too, but I love it, you know, and I always treat myself to at least one, and it is the best gingerbread you'll ever have in your life. It's wonderful. So yeah, I always do that. And but we're going to go this year. I've never been to the Candlelight Processional, and my wife wants to go. I suspect largely not so much for the Candlelight Processional, but the fact that there's this country singer that she likes. I'm trying to think of his name. Trace Atkins, I think.
Yeah.
I think she has the hots for this guy. So I don't think it's so much about seeing the Candlelight Processional as it really is about just, you know.
Trace Atkins. Well, yeah, all I know is I'm glad you stopped talking about gingerbread and chocolate because you're making me hungry.
I know, I'm starving.
Do they do now the Nightmare Before Christmas at the Haunted Mansion there too now?
No, that's
it's just still just California.
I'm kind of torn on that, whether I would I really like to see it, but I'm kind of torn on whether I would like them to do that here or not, because I don't know. You know, it's one of those things where, to me, the Haunted Mansion, I'm kind of particular about it. You know, I'm very much a traditionalist, and I like some of the new modifications that have been made and things like that. But, you know, basically taking that attraction, you know,
yeah,
for a couple of months, making it into something entirely different. And I have to be honest, I'm not the biggest
Nightmare Before Christmas
fan. I mean, I like the movie just fine, but I'm not, you know, really into it to a point where I'd like to see the Haunted Mansion be altered to become that for several months out of the year, every year. So
yeah,
but I've heard it's amazing, and I've heard the soundtrack to it. You know, the music's really good and everything. So I don't know. I'd like to see it one day.
Yeah. If you ever get the Nightmare Before Christmas DVD, they have a virtual ride through, which I guess is the next best thing you can have. So if you have that DVD, if you have the special edition DVD or special edition Blu-ray, you can watch it there. But as I try to bring things back on track, I should warn you people, this will probably be a common thread. This will probably be the longest episode of the 8 Crazy Nights.
What are you trying to say?
last year I had Mike Shag, you know, that guy, and Chris Honeywell, along with Kyle Hebert, and we pushed the 4-hour mark, so...
Oh, yeah.
Of course, and then
no,
Mike said...
They don't know how to shut up.
Well, then Mike said... I believe it was Mike said, imagine what would happen if Scott was here.
See, Mike's always running me dead. It's not right.
But my traditions... my favorite, especially because my mom's so involved with our synagogue, you know, especially our new synagogue, but like at our old synagogue, they just recently started doing... latke, which are potato pancake parties, and they were having latke and vodka parties. So basically this party was, you'd come in, you'd have potato pancakes and vodka. So 86-year-old people eating cholesterol, and I know I screwed that word up, but potato pancakes that are clogging up their hearts, and drinking hard vodka. And then just to add to it, if that wasn't enough, they had a karaoke machine for people to sing. When we Jews party, we do it right. But, yeah, I definitely love, you know, lighting the menorah. That's a favorite tradition of mine, you know, saying the prayers, lighting, you know, putting it in the window. Because I'm actually probably one of the strangest Jews in the fact that when I finally do get a place of my own, I'm going to have Hanukkah lights. Like, I'm actually going to try to outdo, like, some of those big Christmas displays, but it's going to be, like, Hanukkah. Because I like to... I'm Jewish. You got a problem with that? I'm like that guy... I don't know if you remember how much you watch Family Guy, but you know the guy who's, like, in, the early season, he's like, talks real fast? Yeah, I'm fat. Big whoop. You want to start something about it? I'm that guy.
Now, what do Jewish families put out on their lawn for their Christmas, or, you know, for their Hanukkah display?
Well, that's the thing. They don't. We don't do anything. All we do is a menorah. That's the whole point of what I'm saying. That's why I'm different. I actually want to put out lights and stuff. So, but there's that. Of course, there's and seeing the family. I love, you know, during the holidays, you get to see different family members, and I always enjoy seeing that. With that, we're going to move on to question two. So, in your long, lustrous career here on planet Earth, Scott, what are your favorite holiday gifts?
Favorite holiday gifts? Gosh, I'm trying to think. I mean, I usually cleaned up pretty good at Christmas time when I was a kid. My problem is, as I get older, I struggle to remember what was a Christmas present and what was a birthday present. But I know one year the gift that I usually think about as being my favorite gift was one year an uncle of mine bought me the Mego Batcopter. And I think a lot of people, when they hear that, they think of the smaller, the two-person one. But that was more like the Whirly Bat. This was a huge, it was almost like a playset. It was so big. And it was like a flying crime lab type of thing. And it was awesome. It had like a working winch and all this equipment in it. It was great. I love that thing.
Okay, I love looking at those Mego toys on eBay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy the prices they go for these days. I usually got tons of action figures and, you know, maybe some like Star. I remember one, the must have been the Christmas right after Star Wars came out. I got a ton of Star Wars toys. I got like, you know, an X-Wing fighter and things like that. Stretch Armstrong was always one of my favorite Christmas toys. Oh. I loved this, Stretch Armstrong. I used to.
I can imagine right now there's like some 15-year-old anime fan from my site listening like, what's a Stretch Armstrong?
Exactly, yeah, I know.
Which makes you, with that. I don't know if it makes you feel old, it makes me feel old that I know what that is.
But, it was usually, you know, when I was a kid, it was always, you know, action figures and things. Actually, it hasn't changed all that much. If I had my druthers today, it would probably still be action figures and things like that. These days it's usually, you know, one good book that I want, or, you know, my wife says, all right, you know, you can go to the comic shop and spend, you know, $50 or whatever, you know, something like that. So,
well, but with that being said, what's the best geek gift that you've gotten in the past 10 years?
Best geek gift in the last 10, oh my gosh, that's a tough one. Let me think. I'm trying to remember if it's within the last 10 years or not, but I know that when the first Crisis on Infinite Earths hardcover came out.
I actually believe that was within the past 10 years. I think it was 2003.
Yeah, that sounds about right. My wife bought that for me for Christmas and amazed me, because that thing's $100, you know, back then it was $100, you know, that was a big old chunk.
And you could kill people with it too.
Yeah, it was massive.
It was not only reading material, but a weapon for the coming zombie invasion. Or as we like to call them, Twilight fans.
That was definitely up there on my list, because, you know, that's my favorite comic story. And that was just a big deal for me. And it came with, you know, the posters and all that sort of thing. So that was neat. I liked that a lot. Trying to think, you know, it's usually comes down to a good book or something to that effect. A number of years ago, you know, long before the idea of working at Disney was even, you know, an idea in my head, my wife and I managed to get away, just the two of us, and we came down to Disney at Christmas time. It was our first time doing that, and that was amazing. That was a really nice Christmas present just to each other, to be able to get away and come down and see the decorations at Christmas and everything, and see the different shows. So that meant a lot to me, you know, that we could do that, you know, just the two of us. I it seems like I should be able to think of like some really big wowing gift, but I think it would come down to that Crisis hardcover. That meant a lot to me.
Well, I actually do like the top three, because my father was actually Christian, so there was actually a small time when we moved to Florida that while we were, I like to say, transferring to Judaism. We celebrate both Christmas and Hanukkah at the same time. I'm not saying this to brag, by the way. It's just what we did.
Because of both worlds. There you go.
The odd part was my grandpa, when he was alive, which happened to be around the same time, his birthday was on Christmas Day. So we'd go on Christmas Day to visit him, and he'd give us gifts. So we'd get Christmas gifts, Hanukkah gifts, and gifts from Grandpa because it was his birthday. It confused us as children. But the one I like to call, I call it my Christmas story year, 1989, I believe. I won a Nintendo. And Christmas Eve comes, I unwrap all my gifts. I got like this game where you flip monkeys onto a tree. In my stockings, I had a VH tape of Hulk Hogan back when he was a bad guy in the NWA, which was very scary for a young Hulkamaniac at that time. But no Nintendo Entertainment System. And my dad says, "Wait, what's this?" And there's this little love seat and it by the couch, and it created this little space. Somewhat like, you know, how the dad in Christmas Story hid the BB gun. He had hid the Nintendo, and he pulls it out, and he hands me the gift, and I open it, and there's my Nintendo, complete with Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt. I guess you can say I did shoot my eye, just instead of with a BB gun, I did with a light gun. Which explains why I need these snappy glasses. But, then a year Super Nintendo came out, and I got a Super Nintendo, which I got a bike and a lot of cool stuff. But definitely my real favorite is 97, being a big Godzilla fan. That was the year I got two types of action figures. One was I got the fighter jet and the alien ship from Independence Day.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you remember those toys, but they were these big, like, vehicle figures.
Mm-hmm.
And they were massive, and oh man, and they had like little figures inside that could eject and everything, and they had shooting missiles and everything. And the other thing was, it was the Treadmasters Godzilla figure line, which was a line of action figures based off the 1990s Godzilla movies in Japan. So it was like Godzilla, Mecha King Ghidorah, Ghidorah, Mecha Godzilla, Mothra, Batra. I had a Rodan that roared. And my favorite in that was I had a Cyber Godzilla, which was Godzilla with cyber armor. Because when you think about Godzilla, you say, you know what he needs? Armor. Armor and shooting missiles. No, his atomic breath that can destroy everything isn't enough. He needs missiles.
So, you know, one cool thing about being a dad now is that I finally got to confirm a theory that I've had since I was a kid, is that one of the reasons my dad used to really go hog wild and buy me a lot of stuff at Christmas time was just, you know, of course he loved me and everything, but I think I used to suspect a lot of it was because he wanted to be able to play with cool stuff on Christmas morning. And that's, you know, I've definitely been able to confirm that because now I'm the same way. Because last Christmas was actually really cool because one of the things I always wanted as a kid but never got, I was actually able to get for my youngest son last Christmas. He asked for it, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to move heaven and earth to make sure that this kid gets this toy because it's something I wanted when I was a kid and never got it. And that was the AT-AT. From Star Wars.
Oh.
And I got him one last year. And it was nice. Awesome to break that thing out and put it together and play with it and everything Christmas morning. That was a trip. That was a lot of fun.
I also think that, you know, fathers love to see the look on their children's faces when they get the gifts.
Absolutely.
Unless you're that father, like, I was watching America's Funniest Home Videos a couple of days ago. It was the Christmas edition. And apparently this one father, his daughter wanted fishes. And so he apparently goes and he buys the fishes and he puts them in the, he like puts the water and everything and he hides basically the fishes during the night in the washing machine room, which is dark. And so they wake up in the morning, still dark outside, they go, you have a present in the washing machine room. They go there, it's dark, and there's just this fish tank and it's lit up. And they look and like, fishies, fishies, and like, why are the fishies floating?
Oh no.
the fishes are dead.
Oh no.
I know I'm going to hell for laughing at this video, but it was one of the funniest videos I've ever seen.
What killed the fish?
I guess he just put in the wrong water. They didn't specify how it killed the fish, just that the fish were dead.
Oh, man.
I know I'm going to hell for laughing at that.
Merry Christmas. Good Lord. Here's your dead fish.
Which that by the way, that's a TV special of mine, America's Funniest Home Videos. But I know it makes me a horrible human being. But with that, let's move on to favorite holiday foods. What are the foods that only come out during the holidays that you need during the season?
Pretty much the ones that'll fit in my mouth. let's see. Well, I love eggnog. Actually, you know what? I have not had any this Christmas season yet either. That's I gotta correct that situation real quick.
Some eggnog with some bourbon.
Yeah, that sounds perfect right about now. Like eggnog, you know, I'm like the only person I know that actually likes fruitcake. I actually do enjoy a good fruitcake, you know, not one that was made in like, you know, the 19th century and still, you know, sitting on some store shelf somewhere.
It's slowly developing into an intelligent being and it will take over the world in 2014.
Exactly. There actually should be a movie about a fruitcake that actually gains sentience and like goes on the hunt, you know, kind of like the Blob or something.
Actually, I think there are a couple. I think, you know what, I'm not going to do that joke. That was a political joke, and you know what, I really should stay away from that. I'm tempted, but no.
You know, something that gets on my list every year, and I actually have to hunt to try to find them. And I actually found some early this year. Is I have a great weakness for Sour Patch Kids.
Oh.
And the company that makes Sour Patch Kids actually makes Sour Patch Kids candy canes. Now, traditional candy canes, like the, what are they, peppermint or whatever?
Peppermint.
I hate those. I can't stand real candy canes. But I like some of the new ones that have been coming out the past few years. Like, the best one is the Sour Patch one. But there's also, like, Jolly Ranchers.
Yeah.
Candy canes and Jelly Belly candy canes. There's all these different ones that are coming out now. Those are good. Yeah. I like those a lot.
You know, you were talking about stuff that only comes out, like, I know, like, one cookie that comes out only during the holidays are the marshmallow cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Those are definitely a pickup for me. I need my pumpkin pie. As soon as Halloween's over, I'm like, where is my pumpkin pie? And every year, my family makes me wait until Thanksgiving. And I try to get as much pumpkin pie as I can get.
Two things food-related that I really miss from Christmas when I was a kid is I can remember every year, somebody or other, and it was usually like my grandma on my mom's side, but somebody every year would get me one of those. They were a pack of Lifesavers, but it looked like a book.
Yeah.
You know, like a little paperback book, but you'd open it up and there'd be like, I don't know, it was like 10 rolls of Lifesavers or something in there. I used to love those things. And I used to like the good old-fashioned paper McDonald's gift certificates that you'd get when you were a kid. It was like, they were worth like a buck or something like that. You know, you take it and get like a free hamburger or something. I used to love stuff like that.
Oh, yes.
I don't think McDonald's they do anything like that anymore.
You know, at McDonald's back when they did customer service right.
Well, of course, you know, their food is freaking horrible now too, you know. So I mean, I wouldn't really want one today. Well, anyway, but it's all about the nostalgia factor.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say that for like, you know, Sundays and Wednesdays when they have the hamburgers and cheeseburgers for like 69 cents. I actually still consider those good, and that's enjoyable.
I guess it depends on where you get it from, but nine times out of ten, when I've been to a McDonald's anytime in like the last decade, it seems like the food was just horrible, but I try my best not to eat, you know, at places like that anyway, but Yeah, just the simple nostalgia of it. You know,
I don't know what's better. My mom says we're not eating McDonald's anymore, but we can eat at Five Guys, and I don't know what's better.
Oh my God.
So
it's like getting your year's supply of McDonald's in one shot. Yeah.
I mean, it's good food.
At least it tastes good. That's the thing. You know, if I'm gonna eat a heart attack in a bun, I at least want it to be palatable. And that's the problem with McDonald's is like, not only is it the worst thing for you, but now, you know, maybe it's just my palate, but I don't enjoy their food anymore. Well, you know,
no, if you want a heart attack, you go up to Milwaukee and get that donut burger. That's a burger in a donut.
That's insane. But it's, you know, it's, to the, you know, in their defense, it's not every McDonald's, because there's one that's in Orlando. It used to be the largest McDonald's in the world, and they've since been beat. There's one somewhere else that's
big. I believe it still has the world's largest playpen, and I know which one you're talking about because I went to
it. That place has good food. Yeah. I mean, it's still, that's like old-fashioned McDonald's food at that one. I like that one a lot.
Yeah, I got to go to that one a couple years ago because it's right next to a hotel, and that hotel was having a horror convention there, which was that's actually a funny story since we're talking about Michael Bailey. I picked up an autograph from the guy who does the voice for Jack Skeleton. He was there.
Yeah.
And I picked up...
I just recently found out that that's Chris Sarandon, who was the vampire in Fright Night, one of my favorite movies.
That, and he was also Prince Pumpernick in The Princess Bride as well.
Yeah, that's right.
He was there, and I picked up an autograph, Nightmare Before Christmas autograph from his table for Michael's wife.
Oh, wow.
So that was the year I picked that up, and so I got to go to that McDonald's. But just to finish off food, for me, potato pancakes, I mean, it is a Jewish thing, and it's like, I gobble those things up. Probably why I have high blood pressure, but... Oh, that with sour cream, chives, ketchup. Oh, my God. And now people are starting to make, like, fusion latkes that are potato pancakes with, like, jalapenos and bacon in it. And it's like, heaven.
I don't think I've ever had potato pancakes. I have to say that it doesn't sound appealing, but then again, you know.
Potato pancakes are very, very simple. It's just potatoes and onions, and they're like a little pancake. And
is it almost like a hash brown?
Exactly, like yes.
Okay, now, see, I do like hash browns.
It's very much like a hash brown. But, like, you put sour cream in that. If you get a chance, I would very much... I'm sure there's, like, a Jewish shop somewhere in Epcot around the world trip. I'm sure you can find one there.
Well, yeah, you know what? You just challenged me that I'm trying to think where you can get like authentic Jewish food in Disney. I there's got to be some place.
I would have to imagine probably the best place is Germany.
It could be.
But with that being said, I think I had one more thing. What was it? Besides all the cookies and candies, which I think everybody loves. Oh, that's it. For those who, as I've said in the past couple nights, we are Reformed Jews, which means we don't keep kosher personally. So every year, because they're cheap to get, my mom gets a ham, like a brown sugar maple glazed ham. And so we have that on the holidays. And then we get to make ham casserole, which I love, which is basically it's mac and cheese with ham in it.
Oh, wow.
That's my favorite dish my mom makes, and God, I love it. So, with that, we're going to move on to question number 4. Yes, that's right. We're 40 minutes in, and we're only now getting to question 4. favorite holiday literature? This would be books, and we're saving comics for later, but, you know, books and... no matter how big or small, or poems that you enjoy during the holidays?
Probably the biggest one would be when my kids were little. I can't remember where in the world we bought it, but we got this. It was like one of those soft cover kids books, but all of the artwork and the printing style and everything looked like you literally just bought this off the shelf, like 100 years ago. It was this very ornate art style and calligraphy and everything. and it was the story of "Twas the Night Before Christmas." And I used to like to read that to the boys, you know, literally, you know, on Christmas Eve when they were little, you know, before they could actually read for themselves. That was kind of a tradition for a while. I have always wanted to read A Christmas Carol, and to this day, I've never actually read the book itself, but I'd really like to read that one of these days. And I have regretted for, it's probably got to be going on 20 years, that I was dating this girl one time that lived in Syracuse, New York, and I used to drive down to see her on weekends and stuff. And we both liked to read, you know, she was really into books too. And we used to go to like all the used bookstores and things. And I remember seeing at a used bookstore a sequel to A Christmas Carol.
Oh, yeah. The Christmas Carol was part of I believe it's part of like a trilogy of books by Dickens.
Oh, this was not written by Dickens. I can't remember what the author's name was. But it, you know, it was a authorized sequel. And I always, you know, I don't know why in the world I didn't pick it up, because it fascinated me at the time, but for some weird reason, I just didn't snap it up, and I've never, ever seen it again. And I'd really like to read it just to find out, you know, what was the deal with this book? You know, what was the deal with the story? And, you know, just to know if it was any good, because that's one of my favorite stories, you know, even away from Christmas itself, that's still just a great story.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm trying to think of other Christmas literature.
Oh. Well, I love A Night Before Christmas. Mm-hmm. That's just a great poem, and I love reading it. Especially when you hear funny readings or people mess up. It's like, I was talking with somebody about, you know, the first words. It's amazing how many people don't understand, like, the first words, what they mean. Like, and what I mean by that is, "Twas the Night Before Christmas." And they don't think that's a word. They don't understand that word and what it means. It's like, wow. "Twas," you know, "twas" is "it was."
Right.
It's old English. One of my favorite reading, my two favorite readings of it is when I was a kid, because we lived in the Tampa Bay area, we used to go to the Steinbrenner Show, especially my school when I was in fourth and fifth grade. And, of course, at the Steinbrenner Show, I don't know if he still does this, but Hulk Hogan would come in and read A Night Before Christmas. And mind you, he's Hulk Hogan, and he's in the yellow and red. And I remember one year he was there, and he's standing next to Macho Man Randy Savage, and God rest his soul. And they read The Night Before Christmas. And you've not heard The Night Before Christmas until it's been read by Hulk Hogan.
Did Randy say, did he have a Slim Jim at the time?
No.
That actually would have been hysterical.
Yeah. But my other one, and I still have it, because I have the recording, because they, like, it's from a radio station, they put it online, so I downloaded it from there, but radio station in Tampa Bay area called Wild 98.7, it's a hip-hop station, but they have a gentleman there by the name of Paco, who, and I know I'm going to hell for this, but, like, he's Hispanic, and so, you know, Spanish is his first language. He can speak English, but he speaks it bad. And so listening to him do A Night Before Christmas, I'll have to send it to you, because it's the funniest thing you'll ever hear. He's talking about, you know, Santa going up the chimney with a Sprite. And having dreadlocks. I'll probably send it to you after the show tonight. Have you thought of any other literature?
I've been racking my brains trying to think of any others. you know, of course there's you know, the Grinch.
Yes, Dr. Seuss book.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a classic.
I like that one a lot. I know there's got to be another one I'm forgetting at some point, but yeah, those are the only ones that really occur to me.
I enjoy the Christmas Carol myself. I got to read it in school when I was young. And couple years ago, I got to read the actual story that the movie A Christmas Story is based off of.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good book, too, if you can find it. I can't remember the full title, but if you get a chance to read that, that's a very good book, too.
In God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash. Yeah, that's the name of the book. It's written by Gene Shepherd.
Oh, you're right, yeah.
If you've ever seen the movie A Christmas Story, he was the narrator
yes.
of the movie. And he's actually in it in a brief cameo, the part where Ralphie goes to see Santa at the store. And he goes to get in line, and there's an old guy that's going, he's calling to him, and he keeps going, young man, and he goes, hey, kid. He goes, the line ends here. It starts back there. That guy is
Yes.
Who also was the narrator in the latest incarnation of the Carousel of Progress at Disney, too.
Oh, nice. Well, we'll get to movies. Because we'll definitely talk about Christmas Story. So, with that, let's move on to question number 5. What are your favorite holiday music?
Well, much to my family's chagrin, I always break out the Star Wars Christmas album every year.
Oh, dear God!
Yeah, I do, actually. I actually get it.
Do you also break out the Star Wars Christmas special?
Not every year. We actually did this year on Two True Freaks. We did a commentary for the Star Wars Christmas special.
Oh, I'm gonna have to listen to that.
That was a blast. That was a really.
I only recently got. I'll get to that when we get to specials.
But let's see. I mean, I like. I'm pretty much a traditionalist when it comes to Christmas music. I like a lot of the classic. I like classical music. It's one of the few times a year that you really hear classical music played, for one thing. But I'm not really well versed on classical music. But I like, you know, like the Nutcracker Suite and things like that, Ode to Joy and all that sort of thing. I like traditional sounding Christmas music for the most part. Although I do like that one rap song. I can't remember who it is. Is it Run DMC?
Christmas in the Hollies?
Yeah.
That's Run DMC.
I do like that. Disney has done, you know, some really good, some really nice Christmas music over the years. They have a Christmas show that they're putting on in Magic Kingdom this time of year that I still have yet to get a copy of it, but it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
But I'm a big score buff anyway. You know, that's almost exclusively what I listen to is movie soundtracks and orchestrated music. So I really like that about Christmas is that it's the one time of the year where everybody kind of embraces that style of music, and it just fits the mood and sets the tone of the season. So I really like that.
Well, you know, I love the classics, you know, the Bing Crosby, you know, White Christmas, and, Frank Sinatra, and so all the classic Christmas songs, and, of course, the classic traditional, you know, Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and, you know, Jingle Bell Rock, Bruce Springsteen's Santa Claus Coming to Town is one I always have to listen to.
Oh, I can't stand that song.
You can't stand it?
I got this thing about Bruce Springsteen.
Oh.
He drives me crazy. He sings like he's straining to take a dump on the toilet.
Well, did you know that one of his songs is the official state song of New Jersey?
That doesn't surprise me.
I found that out by the Daily Show. It's like he's making fun of New Jersey. It's like apparently. All I know about the song is that it talks about him cutting out his heart. I don't know. They make states to show you how crazy New Jersey is.
One thing I've come to in the last few years, because I'm of the opinion that there, as many Christmas songs as there are out there by so many different artists, that there's not really a wide variety of Christmas stuff. So I'm always on the hunt for new Christmas music I haven't heard before, you know, that I can get into. And the past couple of years I've really started to get into like novelty Christmas songs. You know,
I'll get to that in a second. Okay. But I like the R&B stuff from the 90s that featured people like Brian McKnight and Boys to Men. You know, Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You is turned into a classic. I love that song. But I love the Muppets Christmas album with John Denver.
I don't know that I've ever heard that. Is that from like one of the TV specials or something like that?
They did do a TV special, but there was also an album. But that's, you know, they did like the 12 Days of Christmas. That's where, you know, Miss Piggy goes, five golden rings. And they do some others. But of course, also like the Christmas music from like specials and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like I have them doing Jingle Bell Rock from a Muppet Family Christmas, which we'll talk about in a second. And also some of the music from a Muppet Christmas Carol, which we'll talk about soon. And then of course the novelty songs. I always have to play Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer every year.
No.
You don't like that?
It's not that I don't like it. It's funny. I was listening recently to we've tried to do at least one Christmas special every year for Two True Freaks. I actually dug out our old Christmas specials and was listening to them recently. And our very first one, I think it was the first one, we were talking about Christmas music, and not only the ones that we liked, but ones that we felt like maybe there should be a moratorium on them at this point. They've been kind of played a little too much, and Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer was definitely on that list.
But, you know, like I said, definitely the comedy songs. Of course, Adam Sandler's Hanukkah song is definitely a favorite. All three of them are great, but I remember in 94 there were a couple of good ones. One was... some people did a song where it was Silent Night sung by cats. So it's like, meow, 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 meow.
Have you heard the one that's Chewbacca singing Silent Night?
No.
That's
God.
Hysterical.
But the same people also did, I think, Jingle Bells a year later with dogs. So it's woof, 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 woof. I'm getting the melody wrong, but my absolute favorite is 12 Pains of Christmas.
Yes. Yes, I love that one.
That is like one of the greatest Christmas songs ever.
Yeah, I like that. I like the guy who's hanging the lights. Like, that's the one that kills me every year when we listen to that one. When light goes out, they all go out.
Then why the hell are they blinking?
Yes.
Get a flashlight and blow a fuse.
My kids love that version. I like Chipmunks Roasting by an Open Fire. Because it doesn't sound like I'm down on Christmas or something, but I freaking hate the Chipmunks, dude. I could never stand them. So that song...
They still have a nostalgic factor with me. But to go back to 12 Pain of Christmas, the other guy I love is like somewhere in the middle of the song. It's the guy who says charities. And it gets to a point where he reveals that basically the woman after him that says kind of meeting the in-laws is his wife. And he goes, charities. And what do you mean your in-laws?
Get a job, you bum. That's my favorite line.
With that, let's move on to something we'll probably be talking for 40 minutes about. Let's move on to holiday TV specials, and right now, I'm going to say it, let's talk about the Muppets, because I love them, all the Muppet Christmas specials.
I honestly don't know that I've seen one, other than, I know that I had seen... Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas at least once at some point when I was a kid, but I really don't remember it very well. But that's off the top of my head, that's the only one I can think of. What are the other ones?
Muppet Family Christmas. That's the one where the Sesame Street characters and the Fraggles are, and Emmett Otter make an appearance. That's the one with the icy patch, and it has Jim Hansen at the end.
Uh-huh. goodness. Yeah, I don't remember that one at all.
It's got a great scene to where Swedish Chef sees Big Bird for the first time. And he freaks out. And he throws his pan through a window. there was a Very Muppet Christmas, which was basically a Muppet version of It's a Wonderful Life, which has one of the funniest scenes, because in it, you know, it shows what happens if Kermit wasn't born, and when they go back, two things that are funny. One, Rizzo is a rat on Fear Factor that a contestant has to eat.
Oh, good lord.
But the other is that the Muppet Theater gets turned into a rave club. Dr. Bunsen's a DJ, Beaker's a bouncer, and Sam the Eagle is a raver, and he has a pacifier in his mouth and rave sticks. And he's,
this sounds like this must be a fairly recent movie, though.
This was 2002.
Oh, okay.
But the most recent one is Muppet Christmas Letters to Santa, which came 2008. It has, like, Nathan Lane in it, Whoopi Goldberg's in it, Uma Thurman as a guest. My two favorite bits are, at the beginning, they're waiting in line for to mail their letters on, I guess, on Christmas Eve. So they're way at the post office, and the line's long, and Miss Piggy just getting tired, like, let the stampin' move! I have to talk to the mayor about this, and the guy in front of her turns around, and it's Mayor Bloomberg who's doing a guest spot. She goes, yes, Miss Piggy? He's like, oh, Mr. Mayor, I want you to take me to the front of the line right now. And Mayor Bloomberg goes, Miss Piggy, that would be rude. And if there's anything us New Yorkers are known for, it's our patience. And she does a slow pan to the camera and goes, what has he done to this city?
Oh, that's funny.
That and Beaker apparently lands a hot European model. Because he gets this wish machine and he wishes for a hot European model.
That's funny.
But, so what other Christmas specials do you like?
Well, it's probably very predictable, but, I always like the Charlie Brown Christmas, of course. That's a classic. That's probably the classic.
Yeah, I have it on my DVR right now.
I like several different iterations of A Christmas Carol. I like the Albert Finney one. I like the old black and white Alistair Sim. And don't laugh, but I've always really liked Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol. I don't know what it is about
that. That's a good one. I think that's underappreciated.
It is very underappreciated, I think.
I only got to see that recently. It's like in all the years Christmas, I never got to see that until recently.
I think that's a really... I like the music in that quite a bit. Let me think, what other ones do I like? You know, of course, The Grinch.
Yeah.
I
like the Hanna-Barbera stuff, like the Flintstone Christmas specials, both of them. Yogi Bear's First Christmas is a favorite of mine.
I don't know that I've seen. I know I've seen the Flintstones one, because that one's kind of like Christmas Carol, right? Where it has, Mr.
Well, there's Flint one. Rock, there's a Flintstone Christmas Carol, but there's also two Flintstone Christmas specials that they're actually basically the same. But, like, one happens during the series, and one is obviously, like, after the series is over and it was done, apparently, like, in the 80s or something. But they're basically both the same. Fred and Barney injure Santa somehow, and they have to take his place and be Santa. And, of course, Fred is Santa, because he's got the padding.
Right.
But A Yogi Bear's First Christmas is a movie, basically... Yogi, because Yogi hibernates every year, and he gets woken up, and he gets to celebrate Christmas. And there's this side story where the person who's owning the lodge in the Jellystone Park, who's thinking about selling it, her nephew's trying to sabotage their time, but Yogi always seems to backfire it. It's really nice if you ever get a chance to see it.
I have to watch that one sometime. I haven't ever really seen a whole lot of Yogi Bear, I have to be honest. For some reason, it seemed like where I grew up, we didn't get a whole lot of the Hanna-Barbera cartoons for some reason.
I mean, that used to be my favorite. Boo on Cartoon Network for only showing the old cartoons on Boomerang Now, which I just found I couldn't get the extra package, which has Boomerang, so I'm a little down on that. But still, you know, I love watching the old cartoons, like sort of the first Christmas Elf, which was a Hanna-Barbera special, or Smurf Christmas, and stuff mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah, I was surprised. I just recently learned that Boomerang's still around. I thought that they were gone or something because I haven't seen them on any of the cable.
Well, if you get Verizon, they're on Verizon. Okay. But you have to get the Extreme package, which is the package above the Prime package. That gets you like the sports networks, and it gets you like Boomerang and Hub and Funimation Channel. It gets you the Military History Channel. I'm, like, listing this off because, trust me, I've looked at one to get this package for a long time. you know, I love all the different, like, holiday spaces. Like, I love the lighting of the tree at Rockefeller Center.
Right.
Yeah. And a more recent one that's been happening since around 2003, since I'm a big wrestling fan, is Tribute to the Troops. Which, right. I'm going to take it you're not a wrestling fan, so you don't watch it. But you know, every year, WWE, when they first started doing it, they would actually go to Afghanistan. They would have a wrestling show like that's an hour long in bases in Afghanistan and in Iraq. And the past couple of years, they've done it back in the States. Like last year, they were at Fort Bragg in Texas. Or Fort Hood, excuse me. And I can't remember where they are this year, but I know they're at a military base in the States, and it's an hour, 2 hour long special. They have musical guests and everything, and a couple matches, but I find it's really nice because it's celebrating Christmas and it's paying tribute to the troops.
I used to like to watch, they would have the, you know, on Christmas Day, you've got like the Christmas, what is it, the parade or whatever.
At Disney?
Well, yeah, there's also the Disney special, too, which, ironically, I could have been in this year if I wanted to. On my days off is when they were filming the 2 days. See, I didn't, maybe I shouldn't even reveal this. I didn't realize, I guess maybe I'm just, I don't know, just gullible or something, but I always thought that the Disney Christmas Day, whatever they call that show, you know, Disney's Christmas Day
Parade, I think it's just
Parade or whatever. I thought it was actually live
Christmas Day.
Parks. Yeah, I really did. And so it was kind of a shock to me when I started working there last year that no, it's actually filmed almost a month in advance and everything over, you know, the course of 2 or 3 days. And this year, I could have gone. I probably should have, but I was so wiped out by the time I did.
Well, I think that's the magic of Disney. they make you believe it's actually the other day.
Right. Yeah, I really did. Well, I thought that it was always advertised as being live, and I think some parts of it may be live, but the bulk of it with the performances, you know, and things like that, they're actually done, you know, quite a bit in advance. Which I think that's just, I think that owes back to Disney legend where, you know, the opening day of Disneyland was done live and there were so many, you know, unforeseen things that happened during that presentation that I'm not sure that they ever did much live television after that.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, because that reminds me, this is sort of off topic, but I recently got to see the NBC. Like Walt Disney documentary. I don't know if you got a chance to see that. It's a really good documentary.
Which one was this?
It was basically on the life of Walt Disney.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think I know the one you mean, yeah.
That's very good. Any more Christmas specials that you can think of?
Oh, gosh, let me think.
Because most of mine are really just cartoons.
I haven't seen Rudolph in a long, long time. I always used to like that one a lot. And that one's fun now just to watch for, you know, for the nostalgia factor, but it's fun to just kind of, you know, joke along with it and everything for all the goofiness that's in it. Plus, I like all the different voices that are in that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I just watched that last night, and I'm watching it, and my mom comes in, and she goes, I can't believe you're watching Rudolph. But, you know, that reminds me, yeah, the Rankin Bass stuff. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, A Year Without Santa Claus. Of course, Rankin Bass also did the Charlie Brown Christmas special as well, so.
Oh, did they do that?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So, I can't believe I forgot the Rankin Bass stuff. But yeah, that's definitely a favorite. With that, let's move on to favorite holiday movies. So, what are your favorite holiday movies?
Christmas Story is definitely way up on my list. I love that movie.
And you get to watch it 12 times.
It's crazy because I end up watching a lot. When that channel's on at Christmas time, a lot of times we'll just leave it on that channel and just let the movie just play like over and over and over again. It's crazy. But I really enjoy that movie a lot. Older versions of Christmas Carol that I mentioned before, like Scrooge with Albert Finney. That's one of my favorite Christmas movies. The old Alistair Sim version. It's a Wonderful Life, although I haven't watched that in recent years. I need to try to catch that this Christmas if I can, because I probably haven't seen that.
I've only recently got to watch all of that, like, in one sitting very recently. Like, last year was, like, the first time. I had seen all of it, but I never got to see it in one sitting because it was always on Thanksgiving and we were doing stuff.
Right.
But I've recently got to sit down and, like last year, and watch the entire thing from front to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good movie, yeah.
I like that movie quite a bit. I'm trying to think of some other ones. Well, of course, you know, Die Hard. perennial Christmas flick.
Die Hard and Die Hard 2.
I haven't seen Die Hard 2 in a while, and I might have to break that out and watch it, because I just recently watched
it's during Christmas as well.
Yeah, I like that one. I'm trying to think of unusual ones or something that, you know, not everybody would bring up, and I'm drawing a complete blank. My kids like Christmas Vacation quite a bit, which I like that movie, but it's one of those ones where they have watched it so many times in recent Christmases that I'm like, okay, I could go a couple years, you know, before I see this one again.
Well, that's one of my favorites as well. I only get to watch it once a year. I like Scrooged with Bill Murray. With
Bill Murray, yes. Yeah.
And last year, like, AMC was like every night they showed it for some, like, that was the Christmas movie of the year, apparently. But yeah, I definitely love A Christmas Story as well. I'm a big fan of Nightmare Before Christmas, as we were somewhat talking about earlier.
See, I always think more of that movie as being more of a Halloween movie than a Christmas movie, though. That's the weird thing.
You know what the thing is? I think that makes it a great holiday movie, because it really fuses the two holidays together.
This is true.
But, some bad movies I've seen in recent time, because that's something I actually haven't brought up in two of these shows. I recently got to see, over the past year, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Oh my god, they used to play that on Christmas morning when I was a kid. I remember on, I want to say it was like WPIX or something like that. They used to play that, and I was like, even as a little kid who was susceptible to watching crap like the Superman musical and thinking it was awesome. Even as a kid, I realized that Santa Claus Conquered the Martians was a crappy movie.
Yeah. But no, I've seen it through actually two ways. One, the MST3K version.
Right.
And then the other is the Elvira version, because, you know, I don't know if you know this, but Elvira's back. Like, mm-hmm. She has certain stations will have her show on. I think she's on hiatus right now, but it's like Elvira's Movie Macabre, and, you know, it's her usual stuff showing bad horror movies.
Like, I think all these cosmetic companies and stuff that are spending millions and millions of dollars to try to come up with new, you know, youth drugs and things to keep people. I think they need to be seriously thinking about dissecting Elvira and figuring out because she's got to be like 120 by now, but she looks like she's in her like late 40s, early 50s still. It's crazy.
Actually, she's like, I think she's like in her 60s, but I personally think she looks in her 30s.
Yeah,
and she's definitely still one of the hottest people in Hollywood.
Yeah, she's not a bad looking broad for as old as she's got. I mean, she's got to be like, she could be my grandmother easy. It's crazy.
Well, the thing about her version, when she did the Santa Claus Conquer the Martians, she was Elvira in a Santa outfit, which, oh, thank God. All I have to say is that it gave me a new Christmas log, and I'll leave it at that. Santa Slays, which, again, I know you don't know wrestling.
God.
But there's a wrestler named Bill Goldberg. I don't know if you ever heard of him. Mm-hmm. But basically, he plays Santa Claus, and Santa Claus is this evil demon. They actually, in the movie, it's a horror movie where Santa kills everybody, and apparently Santa is the son of Satan. And so they have to trap him. It's a bad movie. It's like a recent bad movie. It's funny to laugh at. I find it funny.
It sounds to me like somebody took the punchline of that old joke about, did you hear about the dyslexic devil worshiper? And the punchline is he sold his soul to Santa. It sounds like somebody took that joke and made a movie out of it,
But going back to good ones, Muppet Christmas Carol.
You know, I have still not seen that movie.
You've not seen? Oh, we're going to have to get you that. Because
I think it's Mike Bailey that's a big fan of that one, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, we'll have to get you, because Michael Caine is great as Scrooge. And it's got some great songs in it. And Gonzo and Rizzo to steal that movie, because they're so hilarious. Have you gotten to see the recent Muppet movie?
No.
Oh, it's a love letter to Muppets. If you like Muppets, it's a love letter. It's worth seeing.
I've heard good things about it. I'll probably see it when it comes out on DVD or something.
So any other... I'm trying to think of other movies. It's like I had a list of movies. I'm trying to make sure I list all the movies I probably said.
The thing about Christmas movies that gets me is that, you know, it seems like it's a lot of the older ones that are the true classics, the ones that get mentioned every year as being you know, the ones that people hold up and everything. But it's funny that there's so many Christmas movies and so many new ones come out every year, but I don't know, maybe it's just me. I think a lot of them are just awful. There have been some terrible Christmas movies in recent years, I think.
Well, what gets me is when, like, they have Harry Potter movie. Apparently, like, the Harry Potter movies are now Christmas movies.
Yeah, I've seen that, where they're just being played ad nauseum.
And like, as somebody who personally doesn't like Harry Potter, because I think Harry Potter's too much of a wuss. You know, it's like, oh, we could be showing Rudolph right now.
I just think it's boring myself. I don't get the whole Harry Potter thing, I gotta be honest with you.
To go back to TV specials real quick, one thing we forgot to talk about, because you did bring it up, the Star Wars Christmas special. Now, try to convince me to why this is good, because I recently got to see it again. It was a MST3K version of it, and I now see why people talk about this the way they do.
I think a lot of it is, you know, people that actually sat in front of it when it was on TV, you know, airing for the very first time. I think there's a huge nostalgia factor there for, you know, for the people that were little kids sitting in front of that watching. I know that's a lot of the reason why I have vigorously defended it, you know, so many, you know, for much of my life. But also, I mean, I think that thing is redeemed because of the Boba Fett cartoon that's in it. That's flat out awesome.
I don't know if you've heard of the Nostalgia Critic, but he did a joke, because he reviewed it, and he did a joke, like, about George Lucas. You know, he was okay with Jar Jar, he was okay with Howard the Duck, Star Wars Christmas Special, personally embarrassed by. Well, with that, you know, we did TV specials, we did movies. So, again, I like to end on a, you know, what you're best known for, which is comics. So, over the years, what are your favorite holiday comics?
Oh, my gosh. That's a tough one because, again, I think much like TV movies or, you know, just Christmas movies in general, I think there's a lot of Christmas comics, but not a lot of really great ones.
Also, they're hard to find because it's like I've tried to find back issues and it's hard to find. Like, I think the only Chris comic I really have is I have a House of Mystery with Elvira on the cover.
I remember that one. Yeah, I know the one you're talking about. A couple I can think of off the top of my head that I did like, though, is that there was a when Justice League Unlimited was still on the air, there was an issue. On the cover, I think it shows the Phantom Stranger hanging ornaments on a Christmas tree. And there was a story in there about the Flash trying to buy Batman a suitable Christmas present. And it turned out to be a really good issue. And it actually had a tie-in to The Gray Ghost, which was one of my favorite episodes of Batman.
Yes.
Animated series. That was a really good Christmas story.
Well, you know, you just reminded me of the great Justice League Unlimited Christmas special from the show. Homecomings or something like that, where Superman brings Martian Manhunter home with him to the Kents. And
we'll be covering that on Comics Monthly Monday for our Christmas episode,
yeah.
As a matter of fact. It was called Comfort and Joy.
And yeah.
It was a great episode. Trying to think of what others... There was one, I can't remember where the story was published. It was probably in one of those Christmas with the Superheroes specials, or maybe it was the DCU holiday special or something, but it was one of those anthology titles with several different DC characters in it, and one of them was Superman prevents this guy from committing suicide on Christmas.
Yeah.
That was actually a really good story. I liked that one quite a bit. And there was one by John Byrne of Enemy Ace.
Yeah.
Where he stops at, like, a hospital and delivers, I think he delivers, like, toys or something to kids or something. And that was a really good one, too. Because it's silent. It's actually no dialogue story at all.
Again, we're supposed to be talking about comic, but you just keep reminding me about, like, from the animated specials. I can't believe all these specials I have yet to mention Christmas with the Joker.
Yes.
I keep that is a Christmas special and for Batman the Animated Series, and I still think that's one of the greatest episodes of Batman the Animated Series of all time. Just the great one-liners from Robin, like you could give Scrooge lessons to when he defeats the plank, like, they don't call you Batman for nothing.
Well, you know, something we didn't mention in the Christmas movies was, of course, Batman Returns.
Oh.
Which, you know, I used to like that movie a lot years ago.
No, you're right. It does take place during Christmas.
You know, the last time I saw it, I was like, wow, you know, this movie really has not held up very well. Because, as a matter of fact, Michael Bailey and I were kind of kicking around the idea of maybe doing a commentary for that movie for Christmas. But I just told Mike, I was like, yeah, I don't know that I could sit through that thing again. Because the last time I watched it, it was just painful to sit through.
I'll tell you this. If you ever do it, I would love to be on that. just for the mere fact that I'm of the firm belief that of any commentary of a movie, you can have the line, next time, on Touched by an Angel. You can put it in any, use it in any riff track. And if you put it in the right place, it will always be funny.
Actually, you know what? I did just think of a story, but it's going to take me a moment I got to do some quick research here, and I'll be able to tell you which comic the story appeared in. Just a
do, 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 do. I really should be humming Christmas music.
Now, do you put music in your shows?
Yeah, I do.
There you go.
What? well, this would probably be a great place for 12 Pains of Christmas.
You know what? Now I'm not going to be able to find out what... can't remember what issue it is that it's in. I thought it was in Detective Comics, but maybe it's actually in Batman. But there's a story, and this will make Michael Bailey crazy, because I know he hates this story. But there was a story where it takes place on Christmas, and it's just a nice little Christmas piece about Batman, you know, doing his Batman thing on Christmas Eve, you know, and preventing crimes and things like that. But at the end of the story, he ends up going to police headquarters and singing Christmas carols.
You know what? I think I know what story you're talking about. It's a Silent Night in Gotham or
something like that.
Yeah. I think Michael Bailey actually has talked about this one on one of his Christmas specials.
I think he ripped on it, if I'm not mistaken. But I actually like that story quite a bit.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know what you were talking about. Like, he goes to it and he's like, it's very much like in Christmas with the Joker, where he's going around Gotham and really he's not needed.
Right.
So, but yeah, there are some, I just wish I could find some Christmas comics because, you know, the best ones are the old ones, and I've been finding out recently, like, there really aren't any back issues in the comic stores up here, which makes me sad.
There's actually another Christmas comic that I liked quite a bit. It was called, what's the name of it here? Batman Adventures Holiday Special. There was only ever one of them. It's numbered, it's number one, but there was only ever one of them.
Well, you know about the comic industry and their love of number one.
Oh, yeah. And what's weird about this is that I'm pretty sure that except for one story, this issue was adapted into the episode Holiday Nights of Batman the Animated Series when it came back with the new look, you know, with like the sleeker Batman, the back and black outfit and all. But the cover story and a story in the issue with Mr. Freeze, and it's arguably the best story in the comic, actually wasn't in that adaptation, so it was kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, did that thank you for... I'm not trying to... Wow, that sounds really weird. Like, I'm trying to, like, cut Scott off, and yeah, you can't cut Scott off. Scott's a god. Oh, if I just piss you off, you'll just pick me up and have Superman throw me into the sun. But, you know, that's it for this holiday special of Thomas's 8 Crazy Nights. Thank you again, Scott, for coming on. We're doing this late at night, folks, to break the fourth wall. It's like, oh, wow, it's 2 a.m. But really, thank you for doing this.
Hey, thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate it. I had a good time, and I was flattered to be invited, so thank you very much.
So do you want to pimp Tutu Freaks?
Sure, why not? Let's see. Well, as I said before, our primary shows come out on Mondays, which are Star Wars Monthly Monday, always on the first Monday of the month. We have Star Trek Monthly Monday on the second Monday of the month, Comics Monthly Monday on the third, and then the fourth Monday, and sometimes even a fifth Monday in certain months, are just wild card shows where you never know what you're going to get. Maybe a movie commentary, maybe just us just shooting the breeze, whatever. And we have several other shows going on. Chris Honeywell, the other half of Two True Freaks, he does several shows. He does a horror show. He does Media Masochist. We now have Hope Mullinex on our network. She does a show about mostly anime, Harry Potter, that sort of thing. Luke Giaconetti just recently joined our network. He does the Earth Destruction Directive. Michael Bailey and I do several shows. We do Back to the Bins. We do Tales of Justice Society of America. And then I'm doing several shows myself now. I'm doing a Superman show. I'm doing the Jonah Hex podcast. And shortly we're going to probably be adding some other things. We have some mystery projects in the works right now, so keep
an eye out. In your attempt to take over the world.
Pretty much, yeah. And all of that stuff and more can be found at www.2truefreaks.libsyn.com. So come on over there and check it out. If you're into anything geeky, more than likely we're talking about it. So check this out.
I can speak from there. They are a great site. I especially love listening to Back to the Bins and Tales from the JSA, which, speaking of your new members, have they gotten their secretary from... Devonzo Corp yet?
No comments.
Well, but again, folks, thank you for joining me on this fantastic night of Thomas Z Crazy Nights. Join me tomorrow night for another crazy night. Until then, folks, happy holidays.
24th on Hollis Avenue at the dark, when I seen a man chilling with his dog at the park. I approached him very slowly with my heart full of fear. Looked at his dog, oh my god, a ill reindeer. By then I was dealing with the man at a beer and a bag full of goodies, 12 o'clock at near. So I turned my head a second and the man was gone. But he must have dropped his wallet smack dead on the lawn. I picked the wallet up and then I took a pause. Took out the lights and then it cold said Santa Claus. $1 million in it, cold hundreds of G's. Enough to buy a Christmas trees, decorate the house with lights at night, snow's on the ground, snow white so bright, in the fireplace is the Yule log, beneath the mistletoe as we drink eggnog, the rhymes that you hear are the rhymes of carols, like each and every year we bust Christmas carols, Christmas carols.
Okay, let's get this show on the road, gang.
I'm Batman.
This looks like a job for Superman.
Monthly Mondays, available the third Monday of every month at twotruefreaks.libsyn.com.